You use the money for what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, has doled out more than $300 billion so far to banks. We're about to get a better idea of how banks are using that money. TARP watchdog Neil Barofsky publishes a report today. Marketplace's Amy Scott has a preview.
One of TARP's main goals was to unfreeze the credit markets. The report shows that's happening to some extent. Most of the banks surveyed say TARP money helped them make more loans or avoid a drop in lending. The Special Inspector General for TARP found that banks have used the money for plenty of other things, too. 40% say they shored up their capital to protect against losses. Others invested some of the cash, used it to pay off debts or to buy other banks. Inspector General Barofsky wants the Treasury Department to require regular reports on this information from bailed-out banks. Treasury is downplaying the survey results, saying it's not possible to tell whether government dollars were used for particular loans or other activities. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
More earnings expected today. Halliburton, Texas Instruments, and Hasbro. We'll see how Wall Street responds. Markets were pretty much flat on Friday with only slight gains for the Dow and NASDAQ. The S&P 500 lost a smidge. Markets had gains last week of around 7%. Overseas markets are responding favorably to the news CIT reportedly cut a $3 billion deal with its bondholders to avoid bankruptcy. European stocks are mostly higher right now. Asian markets were up 2% today. No trading today in Japan, though. It's Ocean Day there. We're going to find out this week if there is value in a name. Starbucks, synonymous for coffee and lattes, is trying something a little different in the branding department. In a few of its Seattle stores, it's getting rid of its name and changing it to reflect the locale rather than the company. From station KUOW, Liz Jones reports.
The old Starbucks is now called 15th Avenue Coffee and Tea. That name reflects its street location and the company's desire to blend into the neighborhood. It will also offer beer, wine, and live music. Starbucks spokesman Major Cohen says they're going for a more energetic vibe with a European look.
What I hope is that when you experience this, that you clearly know that you've been in a Starbucks because of the coffee and because of the experience. But I hope that you've been surprised and delighted by the way that we presented that experience.
Morningstar analyst R.J. Hadavi is surprised to see Starbucks downplay its brand. But he says that brand could also be a liability during the recession, since some view it as premium or expensive.
Sales trends have been sluggish. They've struggled to bring in traffic as the economy has gotten softer. And I look at it really as another way of reconnecting with the consumer.
The company plans to open 2 more debranded stores in the Seattle area. If they do well, Starbucks says it may take the idea to other cities. In Seattle, I'm Liz Jones for Marketplace.
There's another snapshot today suggesting the economy is less bad, that the recession is abating. A survey released today by the National Association for Business Economics says company sales should begin to rise next year, and they expect cutbacks and layoffs to be much less aggressive.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
We're set to get more financial company earnings this week. Morgan Stanley reports Wednesday. Yet it seems there's been no shortage of positive news coming from those corporations. Is it all a load of bunk or the talk of banks? Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us this morning. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So financial earnings still coming out. What are we expecting?
Well, what I'm expecting is whatever the earnings are from whatever companies to hear all sorts of commentaries from Wall Street about how these earnings show that things are getting better.
But is that the truth?
They may believe it to be the truth. I don't believe it to be the truth.
Why?
Because I look at a lot of these earnings statements and I see things like in the Goldman Sachs statements, for instance, where it says, by the way, commercial property is trouble. You look at the J.P. Morgan earnings, and they're saying, well, gee, we had these write-offs and big losses on mortgages. So depending on whether you think the earnings of these companies matter or what's happening with people and the borrowers matter, you can interpret this any way you choose.
So this is all about sort of finagling the facts.
Well, it's about the word spinning, because a lot of the stuff is ambiguous, and I'm interpreting it my way because that's what I see and that's what I think. But if I were in the Treasury and wanted to have optimism, or I were in the Fed or the White House or on Wall Street where they've never seen anything that's not a reason to buy, I'd say more optimistic things.
But gosh, Alan, if I'm the average listener, I'm asking myself the question, you know, how am I going to get down to the nuts and bolts of what's really going on? Where do I find that information? How do I sort of look through all of this, as you call it, spin?
Well, of course, one way is you just listen to me and assume that I'm completely right about everything. I mean, that works for me, may not work for the listeners. And the other thing is you accept the fact that things are murky, stuff might or might not be starting to turn, and right now, there is no such thing as an objective truth you can find, and you try to muddle through, which is what we've been talking about now on this program for 2 years of, you know, keep your head down, don't get into too much debt, and you'll just try to survive.
And we shall see. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Finally, for 6 months, a 17-year-old British teenager pulled the airline shade over aviation officials there, claiming to be the creator of a new airline that would fly all over Europe. The boy actually presented himself as three different so-called executives of this phony startup, talking to airports and aircraft manufacturers. Police didn't catch on until a tip from Airliner World magazine. No charges as yet in the hoax, but we know for a fact that he's grounded. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.